Paul wrote in chapter 5 to his letter to the Galatians, "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be no benefit to you. I say it again. If you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you're trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you've been cut off from Christ. You've fallen away from God's grace." Donovan, one more slide. There. "But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. You were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God. For he is the one who called you to freedom. This false teaching is like a little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. I am trusting the Lord will keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you. Dear brothers and sisters, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say, why am I still being persecuted? If I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended. I just wish that those troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves. For you've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up by this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. It ain't over till it's over." That's probably the single most famous quote from baseball legend Yogi Berra. It's simple but elegant. And it must have come to him in a rare moment of linguistic clarity, because he's much better known as the master of confusion and doublespeak such as this. This is like deja vu all over again. You can observe a lot by just watching. You've got to be very careful if you don't know where you're going, because you might not get there. I knew I was going to take the wrong train, so I left early. You know, baseball is 90% mental. The other half is physical. A nickel isn't worth a dime today. It was impossible to get a conversation going. Everybody was talking too much. If you come to a fork in the road, take it. If the fans don't come out to the ballpark, you can't stop them. It ain't the heat. It's the humility. You should always go to other people's funerals. Otherwise, they won't come to yours. I didn't really say everything I said. You know, Yogi's not the only guy to get confused, though. It can be a confusing world out there. Even the most important things in life can be confusing. The whole point of Paul's letter to the Galatians was to clear up some confusion that was the result of false teaching that was going on in their churches. In our text today, Paul begins to wind up his argument about what God really wants from us and the nature of our relationships with Jesus. As he does that, he gives us three central truths. to help us cut through the confusion. If we can have clarity about these three things, I believe that the cloud of confusion will begin to subside. So what are these three things? Well, I've got a what, a who, and a which. And let's begin with the what. The first thing we need to be clear about is what counts. For when we place our faith, one more. Try one more. There we go. What counts? For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there's no benefit in being circumcised or uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. The false teachers were teaching that lots of things counted, specifically the requirements of Old Testament law, especially those outward things that helped to establish Jewish identity. Paul cuts through the confusion and says the only thing that counts is faith. And that faith, if it is genuine, will express itself outwardly, not in merely symbolic ways, but in practical, loving ways. A surgical procedure doesn't matter. A dress code doesn't matter. You can wear a Spam shirt in church. A special diet doesn't matter. You can eat Spam in church. Only faith matters. Yes, when that faith expresses itself through love, some of those externals may need to change. And we'll take a look at that in a few moments. But those externals aren't the main thing. The only thing that matters is a life-changing faith in Christ. Specifically, it is trusting that the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross is sufficient to pay for all of your sins. It is understanding that there is nothing you can do to add to what Christ has done, that your behavior can never merit God's favor. Faith is understanding that and then humbly accepting the offer of salvation. Does this change take place in your life and behavior when you reach out in faith? Always. Does that change earn salvation? Never. Why? Because it is faith that counts. It is faith what counts. Faith is the only thing that does count towards our salvation. So second, if we're to cut through the confusion, we must be clear about who is calling. Verse 7, you were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for He is the one who called you to freedom. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. An important way to avoid confusion is to make sure that you know the voice of Jesus so you can discern who it is who's calling. The false teachers will come, and they'll be convincing. And they're going to come wielding scripture. And they're going to come with followers. And some will come, as Jesus said, even working miracles. You need to know what the voice of Christ sounds like so that you can discern it from the voice of the confusers. The way to know what Jesus sounds like is to spend time in His Word. It would be difficult to recognize a counterfeit 20 if one didn't know what the real one looked like. In the same way, to recognize a counterfeit gospel, you've got to understand the true gospel. You've got to understand the true gospel. And this can be confusing, especially when you're confronted by people who've been trained to take Scripture out of context. The only defense is to know the central message. The message that we are saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone. The defense is to be strong in the Scriptures so that you will know when something has been taken out of its context. You need to be able to recognize who's calling. Finally, to cut through the confusion, we need to know which command. Verse 13, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. We need to know which command is important for us as believers. It's not the command to be circumcised, not the dietary law, not even the Ten Commandments, but this one that sums up what is important about the law. This command also sums up the essence of the freedom that we have in Christ. We are set free to love. But the interesting thing here is that having been set free, the desire of our hearts is to serve one another. Of course, the ultimate example of this is Christ himself. No one could dispute that Christ was the epitome of freedom. He was only chained to a human body because he chose to lay aside his rights as God. Yet, as the ultimate expression of his freedom, he chose the cross, the ultimate expression of love, which looked very much like bondage. But he made it clear before he went to the cross that it was his choice. Mark 10:45, Jesus says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. As we follow the example of Christ, we will find that our freedom is expressed in serving one another. That is what we have been set free to do. Verse 13 says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. A good example is found in Paul's letter to the believers at Corinth, when he tells them that for the sake of brotherly love, they should give up eating food sacrificed to idols. Not that it was sinful, but because it was a problem for their brothers. And this applies to us too. Though we have freedom in Christ for the sake of love, sometimes we need to choose not to exercise that freedom. If you are behaving in ways that you know causes a distraction or a problem for your brothers and sisters by your dress and or grooming or language or choice of entertainment, then you are breaking the law of love. We may find that our freedom to love causes us to do things we'd rather not do on our own. It may cost time out of our busy schedule. It may cause some personal discomfort and frustration. It may cost us money that we've been saving for a special treat for ourselves. But ultimately, we will find that this is an appropriate use of our freedom. To serve one another will reap great blessings and joy in our life. It is what it means to be in the grip of God's grace. It is what it means to be led by the Spirit. It is what it means to have Christ formed in us. In a few weeks, we're going to explore this even further with the passage that begins, let us live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And living by the Spirit is exactly what will happen in our lives as we cut through the confusion by knowing what counts. Only faith in Christ, not an external set of rules and regulations, and by recognizing who's calling, as we learn to discern the voice of the shepherd from the voice of the thief, and finally, as we understand which command should we live by, the command of love, which is the ultimate expression of our freedom in Christ, to love our neighbor as ourselves. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another.